I'm going to talk today about how to walk in your calling, how to position yourself so God will promote you more into His kingdom. God wants to involve you with His business. He wants sons and daughters of God that help Him do the work of the ministry, His plan on this earth. He needs us. He needs our authority. He needs our hands. He needs us to be involved with Him. But the thing with God is He'll never promote you beyond your maturity or beyond your character. And that's why I find most people I run into are frustrated, because they've tried to find promotion in a system of men that is similar to the system of the world. In the world, you can find promotion at businesses in different places by being a good worker and successful and knowing the right people. And the world has a way, a system of promoting people through this life. And in the world, you have to hustle. You have to be the top dog. You have to be the main man. Sometimes in hustling to be the top dog and the main man, you have to put others under your feet to stop them from catching up and overtaking you. And so that's the system of the world. But thank God we're not of the world. And thank God we have a Father who loves us and thinks about us and has plans for us. So God's plans are important. You'll have a hard time getting God to promote you in a plan that isn't His. Now, the world will promote you for many reasons. We've seen many wonderful singers in the world that you trace back their roots, and they started in God. And they had a beautiful voice or a beautiful talent, and they used it for God. The world came in and said, "We want to harness that talent of yours, and we'll pay you well." So many of them moved on to the world out of church, because the world knows how to promote you. Well, much of that promotion, unfortunately, has crept into the church in a system of men promoting men. And this is why many people, maybe like you, have had a difficult time finding promotion. Because man could promote you before God wants to. And man could promote you in a different direction than God wants you to go. In which case, you'll find yourself at odds with God. And man's promotion comes from hard work and performance, doing a good job, and mostly how many people you can influence and help. And so I had a struggle in that area too, or I'd say a transformation out of that system into God's system of promotion. They're two different promotions, and I had to learn this the hard way, and maybe I can save you some time. I learned that the promotion that I was involved in, the man promoting men in the church, came to a dead end. It came to a dead end when you weren't the top dog, or you were the funniest, or the most anointed, or the most charismatic, or the most talented. Someone else would always come on and pass you, surpass you. And so there was a competition in that, and you had to fight to hold your spot. And I always struggled in that type of environment. I had a hard time outperforming other people. But God always promoted me in different areas, His way. And so that's what I want to talk about. How can you get God to promote you into His business, into His plan that He's laid out for you? So we're going to start in Colossians chapter 3 today. And we're going to go down to the bare bones of finding promotion from God. Many people get frustrated because they start in the system of man finding promotion. I say systems of man because that means that a man has the power to promote you. And then if a man has the power to promote you, then that man also has the power to demote you. But when you're promoted by God, no man can stop it. If you ever hear a wannabe preacher complaining, "Oh, I would be so much further along. I should be in leadership. I should be the preacher. I should be the prophet. I should be the praise and worship leader." If you ever hear that, then what they're saying is, "I'm looking to man to promote me." And see, if they understood that God promotes you, when God promotes you, no man could stop it. Even if they wanted to stop it, they could not stop it. And so that's the kind of promotion we want. Anyway, we want the promotion of God. And we really don't want the promotion of man. Man can acknowledge what God is doing, saying, "Hey, I see the hand of God on you, and I want to acknowledge that and be a part of that." That's much different than a man saying, "I'm going to promote you into a position of leadership." And what that means is I have a bunch of people following me, and I'm going to give you a voice in their life and promote you above them to help me with them. And it's all good. Everything's good in the kingdom of God. Any church that preaches Jesus, we love that, and we know that God loves that too. But there is a transformation that I went through where I was in the system of man, within the church system, finding promotion, fighting for promotion. And as I prayed in the Holy Ghost and kept praying in the Holy Ghost, I found that the Holy Ghost began to build a desire in me to please God more than please man. Now, if you asked me back then, I would say, no, I'm pleasing God. But really, I was pleasing man in the name of God. And there's a subtle difference and a huge difference by that term, that we want to please God with our life. And that means that we have to accept His plan as being the most important, not my desires, not my plans, but His plans. That His plans are what He'll promote when you're in the plan that He has for you. And the plan He has for you is going to be different than anyone else. That means a pathway for you to go into that plan is going to be different than anyone else. In Colossians chapter 3, we'll just read here in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now here we see this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the holiness standards of God, the characteristics of God, love and peace and kindness and humility, meekness, long-suffering. Now, I want you just to pause for a moment and think about, in our typical church world nowadays, we find people who are promoted because they're anointed, because they can hear God, because they're charismatic, because they're talented. But here, God has given us a list that doesn't include anointing, talent, or charisma. It includes holiness, kindness, mercy, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forgiving each other, loving each other. And this is part of where I see the church failing, much of the church now, because I see many of the church pursuing the spiritual aspects of God instead of the characteristics of God. Because it's easier to get anointed and be blessed under the anointing than it is to work on my own selfishness, my own lack of holiness. That's work. That costs you time and effort and frustration and all kinds of things. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Now this is important. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So whatever we do is to be done unto the Lord. It's easy to say that. Someone goes up and they feed the poor nowadays, and they post it on Facebook or social media. I'm here feeding this poor guy. Smile. Tell him your testimony. Isn't that great that I've witnessed to this man and I've helped this man, and we record it? And really, it's saying here that the Lord is the one we do it for, not for your own glory, not for your own reward, not for you to be acknowledged, but really for God to be acknowledged. So that takes a certain humility and a certain walk of trust with God, that I'm no longer in charge of bringing promotion to my life. I'm no longer the go-getter to go get promotion. I'm the go-getter to get holiness. I'm the go-getter to get your word in me. And then that will bring promotion where God will promote me instead of me having to promote myself. And I see many frustrated believers in ministry because they've fought their way in promotion. Not in a bad way, but that's just the way that the system of man works, even in the church or the world, that you have to keep your position once you get it, because someone else will come along. And so you got to fight for it, and you got to own it, and you got to fight others against it sometimes. And if you're not the top dog, you're never going to get promoted anyway. And that's sad. Like, I remember when I took my son to play football. He was just a kid, I mean, 7 years old, I think 8, just a, and he's a skinny kid too, fast, really fast, but skinny and not really a killer. Harrison didn't have the killer instincts. So when they were supposed to tackle someone, he'd kind of pull back a little bit. He'd be the first one to get to the ball because he was fast, but then he'd slow down and let the other guys jump in the pile, then he'd jump on top of the pile. Maybe he's actually smarter than the rest, I don't know. But he was never a football player, and we took him to play football on the school team. And so I was thinking, like when I was raised playing hockey and different sports, most of that, everyone got a turn, especially at that age. But this was kind of a high competitive football team, and I didn't realize that. And so right away I noticed that Harrison, who wasn't his first year playing football, other kids had a couple years already, was not playing a lot of the positions, that they were training the kids who were the best to be the best and to stay the best so they can beat the other teams. And that meant that the kids who weren't the best weren't really able to develop their skills, because once they found who the best were on the football team, they took them and gave them most of the time and most of the training and even most of the coaching went to those players. I understand that. That's competitive. I don't think it should be competitive at that age, but that's how it was. And I got frustrated. I even talked to the coach and tried to bring some change. But, you know, my son's sitting on the side with eight other kids, watching the other kids play for the majority of the game. And they bring them in for a couple plays a game, but that was it. And I was frustrated because how is he going to learn and grow and mature when we don't even give him a chance to play? In the system of man, you take the best, and you take the best and you exalt them higher. They're the best. They have more talent, more ability, more whatever it takes. And it was like that with the football game. Well, it's kind of like that in some churches. If they adopt the system of man, that they start to take the best and they're not there necessarily to bring others up. And if you're not the best, then, you know, like my worry with Harrison, you know, he didn't like football. He ended up not liking that. He liked soccer better. But if he really wanted to play football, I'd be frustrated because he didn't start at the best or at that level. How's he ever going to catch up if all you ever do is put most of your effort on the group that's the best and leave the others behind? How's he ever going to catch up? You know, 3 years later, he'll still be behind that group because he was not in the group to start off with. And I know as I'm talking to you, some of you are thinking, that sounds like me in my church. Just some churches, but sometimes that's how it goes. You're not in the inner circle, you'll never be in the inner circle. Well, thank God there's a promotion that comes from God and not through man. It originates from God, and when God promotes you, no man can stop it. No man can stop it when God promotes you. You don't have to worry about that, even if they try. And I've had people try with me, and they always fail because they're not fighting me, they're fighting God. So here he mentions two things to have in us, and the two areas that are important here are holiness and the Word. In the system of man, I found many popular preachers who are promoted by the system of man who don't have holiness in their life, don't have love in their life, and they don't have a solid Word in their life, but yet they're popular. I can see it's very prevalent today, especially with social media. The two things mentioned here by Paul is to have holiness, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, humility, meekness, self-control, and also that we have the Word in us, and then we do things as to the Lord instead of unto ourselves. And so some people can find great success in the system of men. In the church. Great success. If a church is set up to go by that system, then it's still good, but many people are left out of that picture of leadership. Not all churches are like that. A lot of churches are not like that. Our church is not like that. A church is really to help people to grow into their calling, not so much to get people to follow the church. Verse 17, whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That whatever we do every day, everything we do, we want to do as unto the Lord, that He gets the glory, and he's the one responsible to promote you. So I remember one day we were working at a conference, and I was just one of the workers. And I was getting up at 6 in the morning and working all day long at this church conference, setting up chairs, helping people all day long. And there was a couple other guys who were really talented. One could sing. The other was a really good, very articulate. He got to MC the services, my age, my group. And they would get up late and come in just when the service starts. And I'd already been there for 3 hours. And they'd show up and then they'd disappear. And I was getting frustrated because I was doing all the work and they were getting all the glory, kind of, and getting the easy stuff. And I started to complain to God. I said, God, this isn't fair. I'm doing all the work. I should be the one who gets a little reward. I don't get to preach. The other guy gets to preach. I don't get to do, you know, all I'm good. I'm just a workhorse. That's all I'm good. I'm an ox. And I was complaining to God. And mostly my jealousy towards these two fellows, which was my problem, not theirs. Now I realize that. But at the moment, I thought it was their problem and God's problem and everyone else's problem. But, you know, when you're young, you're pretty self-centered. And I said, God, it's not fair. And I heard the Lord speak to me and say, he said, quit being a man pleaser. I said, what? I'm not a man pleaser. I'm doing all the work. They're man pleasers. And the Lord said, quit being a man pleaser. Then he said, I see everything you do. Quit looking to man to see it and reward you. I'll reward you. See, he was trying to get me to get my mind off of pleasing man in the name of God and to pleasing him. And so at that moment, I stopped and said, Lord, forgive me. I said, God, you see what I do. So I'm doing this as unto you. No one knows me, sees me, recognizes me, promotes me. I don't care. I want to do what's in front of me faithfully. And I trust that you see it. And in time, you will promote me to what you have for me. And God since then has taken me down a path that's been a little odd to other people because it doesn't go down the systems of man. It goes by God is my promoter. And the only promotion I want is the one that he gives. And until he gives it, I'm perfectly fine being faithful with what's in front of me right now. And this, I think, is where many Christian people who desire to be used in the kingdom of God, they struggle because instead of being faithful with what's in front of them, and if all that is in front of you is working on your holiness, your love, and getting the word into you, then be faithful to that. Be faithful to pray, to read your word, to fast, to worship God, and to serve with whatever's in front of you. Be good to people. Be kind to people. Be forgiving of people. Be loving of people. And if that's all you do, be faithful to that. If there's nothing else for me to do, then be faithful to that. Because God is unable to promote you beyond these things, beyond holiness, beyond the Word of God. He's unable to promote you, and he won't promote you to another plan except for his. He has one plan for you. It's laid out already. It's been laid out from before time. And his desire is to get you mature enough and full of the word enough that he can begin walking you down that path. Well, I think I'm ready. You might be ready in the system of men, but in God's eyes, he's not ready. And it may be more than just holiness or character or lack of maturity. It may be lack of the word. Who knows? It might also be that he is being strategic and he's saving you for the right time and he doesn't want to put you out ahead of your time. So many times, let me put it this way, many, many times good people who aren't in their calling, what they would think is their calling, are not in ministry when they want to be in ministry. It's not because they're lacking. It's just because of God's timing. It's none of our business when his timing is. So our job is to say, God, I submit to what's in front of me. And if this is all I ever do for you, this is all you ever have me do in my life is be faithful to work on holiness, on love, on the word of God in me. I'll pray in tongues. I'll worship you. I'll read your word. These are the tools we use to bring the word of God into us, to help us to walk in holiness as we pray in the Holy Ghost. Lots. We read the word lots. We worship God lots. We fast a little. We press into this walk of holiness and life, which is, God, you're all I have. See, that's the transition that happened to me, and he had to get my approval to take me step by step out of the promotion that came from the system of man, because that was easier, that was faster, that was quicker. But you got to be a certain type to walk down that road. You got to be the feisty, you got to be the top guy, willing to fight for it. And the more I prayed in the Holy Ghost, I found myself not willing to hurt people, not willing to, instead of running through the door first, I started to stop and open the door and let others go first. I'll never forget my dad when I was a little kid. I never forgot it. We were fishing. I think it might have even been my first fishing trip with him. And my dad took out a chocolate bar and he broke it in half and he put it in his hand and he held it in front of me on the boat. He said, "Son, take a piece." And I looked and one piece was a lot bigger than the other piece. So I took the big piece. I was a kid, of course. Yeah, thanks, Dad. And my dad said, "You know, I did that on purpose. I made one bigger than the other to see which piece you would choose." Now, my dad at this moment wasn't born again. But there's a part of wisdom that's forever. And he said, "Son, in life, always pick the smaller piece. Let others have the bigger piece." And you know, that's been kind of the principle I've followed my whole life, my whole ministry, is to take the smaller piece. If there's an option, a choice, take the smaller piece and allow others to go forward. Because if God wants you promoted, he will promote you. When God wants you promoted, he will promote you. And many people are really frustrated. They should be in complete peace and excited about their future. But they're frustrated because they think they should be, God should be using them more. More in ministry, more in things, more in finances. And instead of being content and peaceful and saying, "God, I'm yours. My life is yours. And I'm going to keep praying and keep fasting and keep worshiping and keep working on these things in my life, holiness and filling with the Word of God. I'm going to keep doing these things." See, if you think it's God rejecting you, "God, you picked that one, you picked that one," you think you're being rejected, but you're not. You're being groomed. You're being prepared for something great. And that promotion from God is not like the system in most churches. And I'm not trying to belittle that, but it's a different system. But it's a system of man. If man gives it to you, then man could take it away. That's the idea. And that's what we want to avoid. We want what God has for us. Because if God gives us, no man could stop it, and no man could take it away. If they want to take it away, they'll have to talk to your father. They can't just come take it away from you. "And whatever you do in word and deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Then he goes on to, "Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting to the Lord." Amen. "Husbands, love your wife and do not be bitter towards them." Amen. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Now, these sound very practical, but this is, it's very practical to be humble. It's very practical to not be a self-promoter. "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God." So not with eye service as man-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, pleasing God. So not with man-pleasers. You know, I remember I worked at Burger King when I was young, many, many years ago. Our manager was very free, very loose. He let us eat things that we weren't supposed to eat, cook our own burgers. And our cleanup was okay, kind of sloppy, but he was okay with it. And then one day he went on vacation, and we had a substitute manager come in. And he was like the hard case. As free as the other guy was, this guy was hard. And he came in for 1 week and kicked our rear ends. He told us we were lazy, we weren't doing things right. And I remember one time I was mopping and he said, "That's not right. You need to do it right." And I said, "Oh, I didn't know." You know. And so I got better. And then when he wasn't there, I kept doing better. I kept working hard. And one of my other employees that came up to work with me said, you need to quit being a man pleaser. He had another word for it, but you need to quit being a man pleaser. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're just working too hard. You're making us look bad. And I said, but I don't do it when the boss is here. I work hard all the time. He said, you're just a man pleaser. And then it dawned on me. And I said, no, wait a minute. I'm not the man pleaser. You're the man pleaser. Because when the boss is in here, you're lazy. But when the boss shows up, all of a sudden you're busy in front of him trying to impress him. And see, that's where many of us struggle in that transformation. Because if you're a man pleaser, I'm trying to be nice, I'm trying to do it right. If you are in the system of man, you have to be a man pleaser to get promotion. And if you're a man pleaser, it's because you can do things in front of man to get them to help you. But if you're a God pleaser alone, God's with you all the time. He's never not with you. He does not see you. So there's no such thing as only pleasing him when he's watching. You got to please. He knows you. He knows if you're just pretending or if it's really the character inside of you. And so we want to develop these characteristics inside of us of holiness, of love, of maturity. We want to develop these characteristics. The anointing will come. The power will come. All the things that we may seek for will come. But God doesn't promote because of those things. He promotes because of character, love, holiness, and the Word of God in you. A lot of people miss that part. They're faithful in helping feed the poor. They're faithful with their donations to God. They're faithful with their time. They're faithful to many things. But they're not faithful to put the Word of God into them. And that's one of the biggest keys to promotion. I'll share that with you in a moment. Bondservants, obey all things, your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now notice, in this context, he's talking some pretty practical things. There's no talk of how many people you got saved, how many miracles you had happen in your ministry, how anointed you are. All of this talks about wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, be nice to your wives. Don't be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children. Bondservants, be obedient to your master, to your boss. So it's very practical. And he brings that down into, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So even though you may be submitting to someone, you do it as unto the Lord, not unto them. I'm not doing this so you will promote me. I'm doing this to please God, because there's a time that God will promote you. Don't get discouraged if you're not walking in the place of your calling, ministry that God has for you, like whatever it might be. Don't get discouraged if that promotion from him hasn't come. Especially, don't go down the path of trying to get it from man, because man will give it to you, but it'll cost you. It'll cost you because they can take it from you, and you got to keep it. But if you go down this path that God brought me down, no man could take it. It doesn't leave. It never leaves. It's with peace. It's with joy. It's a lot of work, but everyone works. Knowing, verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So knowing that you will receive a reward because of your inheritance, not because of your works. And this is important, because we are to work for God. We are to be faithful in our works. But we don't look to our works as why we're promoted. We look to God and give him all the rights to promote us in our life. All the things. And so what my job is to work on holiness, to work on the Word of God, to work on love in me. And whatever is in front of me, whatever I can serve in front of me, be faithful to that. And to trust God to promote me. And in that trusting, don't look at it like you're being rejected or you're being left behind. I see many preachers, and I'm a preacher. I see many people I know who are preachers at my age, at my time, when I was younger, shoot off real fast like a rocket into popularity. Friends of mine shot off into popularity, were making good ministry, big ministry, but as fast as they went up, down they came. It seems like there's, I always say, I may be going slow, but I'm always going and I'm always getting there. I will get there. I may seem slow. And when I compare myself to other ministries, I can't, because sometimes we're at two different systems. One's the system of man, one is the system of God. I want to be in the system of God. And probably if you've been praying in the Holy Ghost, you've been frustrated with your calling. It's because you're switching systems. And this system is much stronger. It's like going from flying a little airplane to flying to the moon. You know, there's a lot more training to fly to the moon than it is to fly a little Cessna across town. A lot more training, a lot more things you have to have, even though they're similar. Don't belittle yourself or your calling, and don't blame God. God has your best interest all the time for you. Let's look over in 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm just going to go to a few verses. I'm trying to paint a picture today of being at peace with following God, being at peace with being faithful with what's in front of you, and also let God lead you to the right system of promotion, which is holiness, love, and the Word of God. I was invited to go preach in Canada, and I got excited. And I said, God, I'm ready. This is so great. You're so wonderful. You see my faithfulness. See, I counted up my works, my 9-to-5 works for Him, the things that I was doing for Him. I said, you've seen my faithfulness, my loyalty to you. And I said, that's why you're promoting me. And the Lord said, no, that's not why I'm promoting you. He said, you have enough truth in you that I'm promoting that truth, not your works. And what He taught me in that moment was the Word of God, the understanding that I have, the revelation, the truth of the Word of God in me, not just the quoting of the Word of God, but the understanding of it, the revelation of what He really means, that as that builds in me, He begins to use that in me. So basically He was saying, I'm not promoting you, Alan, I'm promoting myself in you. See, He wasn't even promoting me, He was promoting Himself in me. I was just along for the ride, and it's been a fun ride, but it's been a ride. The way we see promotion should be the more of God that I can allow to work through me. I'm not talking about anointings. I'm talking about character, love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit. The more of that stuff that I allow to work in me, the more holiness that I allow to work in me, the more truth that I allow to work in me, then God will promote that, and I get to go along for the ride. Rather than God, look at my faithfulness, look at what I'm doing for you, so now you should do this for me. I want to just take a sidetrack real quick and go to 1 Timothy here, chapter 3. And we're going to look at something. I want you to see this. So important in our age today. This is a faithful saying, verse 1. If a man desires a position of a bishop, he desires good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach, into the snare of the devil. So this is Paul's idea of qualifications for leaders. And I want you again to notice here, I don't see anything about how well they hear God. I don't see anything about the anointing, about the glory of God, about miracles, signs and wonders. I don't see any of that. Talented, charismatic, good preaching, good singing. None of that is in here. The qualifications are holiness, living righteous, making those choices. It's much easier to go help you than it is to face me, myself. Much ministry has been built on that, how to avoid facing your own self. Get busy helping me serve God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Think about that. Kneeling down under his hand and saying, God, you have all ownership of my life. You have full ownership of what I do. And if all I do, if your only job for me my whole life is to mop the floor of the prisons so I can preach to one man, if that's my whole calling, I submit to you. If no one knows my name, no one hears of what I've done, I'm okay because you're the only one I want to please and you're the only one I'll find promotion. My exaltation, my lifting up in life comes from you, Father, not from my works or from any man. Now, man may acknowledge it and go along with it. That's great, but it doesn't mean it came from man. God is the one who we want to exalt us, not anyone else. Let's go back to verse 5 of chapter 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Exaltation from God will not come without your humility. Interesting, in the world of man, pride is a good aspect to have, the ambition to be over people, the ambition to be a leader, be respected, those type of things does you well in that system. But in God's system, it's the opposite. You have to humble yourself. God, I'm here to serve people. No matter what my calling is, if I'm an apostle, I'm here to serve people. If I'm a pastor, I'm here to serve people. If I'm a prophet, I'm here to serve people. I'm not here to be above people. I'm here to be underneath them, to lift them up and to encourage them into their calling. Because their calling is just as important as my calling. Let's go over to James. Just a few pages over, chapter 4. James 4 and verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And the theme today is to be able to, and I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to tell you that if you feel yourself going down this path, your prayer time in the Holy Ghost, that he's begun to lead you down this path, that it's okay, you're going down a good path. I'm not telling you to go over there. I'm telling you if you're being led by the Spirit to go there, let him take you and feel confident that you're going somewhere great. They went and found you at the airport for little Cessnas that fly around the city. And they said, we're bringing you to Nassau. Get into the car. We're going to drive to Nassau and that's going to be your new home. Well, as you're transforming into that system, don't feel like you're failing. Feel confident that God's got something really, really powerful in his eyes for you. Don't see it as rejection. Be brave and trust God. This is God has your life in his hands. He's got wonderful plans for you. He wants to promote you, but he can't just promote you. He's got to promote himself in you. How many believers are running around without a lot of the word in them, without a lot of praying in the Holy Ghost? They're running around busy for God. This used to be me. Busy for God, trying to find promotion from your busyness. God wants to promote you. It's going to be on love, holiness, and the amount of word you have in you. That's why we preach so much on praying in the Holy Ghost and fasting and worship, confessing the word, meditating the word. Because these are things that help add to you to grow, mature, overcome. And as you do, you'll find that God will always promote you with him. I'm going to go to one more verse here in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So just to reiterate, God has a plan for you. You may know or have a glimpse of what that plan is, but there's two pathways to that plan. One won't get you there, but it looks like it will. The other one will get you there. One way you can go is try to get into the system of man that you'll find in a number of churches, religion around the world. It's copied from the world, and it's just brought into the church. And it's man ruling over men. And you might do great at that, especially if you have a lot of charisma, talent, character, money, a lot of great things, and you're in the top tier. They may snatch you up and leave the others behind. But if you're not in the top tier, you're going to be frustrated your whole life trying to get selected. I thank God that I was dysfunctional when I was 18. I thank God, and I make fun of it in that way, but I'm thankful that I knew that I was a mess and not strong and that I needed God, because that forced me to rely on God for everything, because I knew I'd had nothing to make it in this world without him. If I didn't have him, I probably would have nothing right now, and I'd be, who knows where I'd be. He should be everything to us. So I'm going to bring this into this parable here in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. It's kind of preaching right now. I'm bringing that topic into this parable and putting them together. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful, I am a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's the principle I think we should live by. I think we should live by the principle of take the smallest piece and let others fight for the bigger piece, and know that God has something for you. That we can either strive within ourselves to get attention of man, to be promoted by man, because I know that you want to serve God. I know it's in us to really, God, I want to be used of you. But when we think being used of God is this, this, and this, it doesn't allow him to take us to something else. Maybe he's training you and developing you stronger because you have more stuff you have to carry. I remember I had one in our town in Tennessee when I lived there. They had plowed down the ground by the highway, and they were going to build two buildings. One was like a 10-story building, and one was just like a 2-story building. I remember watching it because they plowed up the land, and then they started to dig the holes, the foundations, and they dug, and they dug. And then all of a sudden, the two-story, was starting to build the house. Well, the other one, they kept bringing dirt out for the foundation. I mean, the first house was almost finished before the second building was even complete. And the reason is because the higher the building, the deeper your foundation needs to go. And if you just are happy with a little foundation, you can only go so high. But if you want to have a big building, you've got to go deeper so the big building can stand and survive. The higher you want to go in ministry or in your calling or in business, the deeper your foundation has to go. So maybe the reasons why things are going slow for some people, it isn't because they're failing or God's rejected them. They may have everything in order. They're working on their holiness, their love. They're building the Word of God in them. They're praying in the Holy Ghost, and they're, God, when are you going to use me? Well, maybe he's building something deep because there's something big that he wants to do through you. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't compare yourself to others. Know that I'm in God's hands. I have come under the right hand of God. He tells me what to do, and I am content. I don't have to brag or get anyone's approval for what I've done or where I've been or what I do. As long as God is pleased with me, that is the perfect will of God, wherever that is. There's some people, all they'll do in the whole world, the only thing they'll do in the whole life, in the whole world, is rescue one person. But if that's God's plan to rescue that one person, that guy gets the same reward. You get the same reward as someone who's had 2 million people born again, because you did what he wanted you to do. And humbling ourselves is letting go of our pride, letting go of our power to make life happen, letting go of the hustle to make your calling happen. And many times people who are frustrated because they think they're not doing enough, and that can be part of the message from other people, hey, you should be doing more. And so they don't think they're doing enough outreach or that type of thing. So they feel like frustrated. So they go and make something happen just so they can say, I did something. Just so they have something to show God. But God's not interested in what we can do for him. He's interested in who we become in him. Because then he can do much through us. In one moment, God could do more through you than you could do in a lifetime of trying to do stuff for him. Just one moment. And so maybe you're just in preparation. Maybe you do have to work on holiness. Maybe you got to work on love. Maybe you got to work on more word. I can't tell you the reasons, but I can help you to be at peace that the pursuit to God's promotion does not come from man. You won't ever find it. In fact, if you find it from man before God, he'll take you down a wrong road. And understand that if man can give it to you, they can take it away. Now, when you allow God to promote you, God to lead you forward in your calling, no man can stop it. And he could do it quickly in one moment. He can do it quickly. I have many, many stories I want to tell you, but because of time, I can't today, of how God had me lay something down in my calling, and then years later he brought it back and gave it to me for free. Amazing. Over and over and over in my life, because I've learned this principle, or I allowed the Holy Spirit to teach me this principle and then lead me down this path of transforming where I find my promotion, where I find my self-worth. You know, the Bible never talks about having a good self-worth. The Bible tells you to have a good Christ image, a Christ worth. So I found my self-worth in Christ, not in my what I can do or what I'm capable of. Because, you know, even if you're the fastest guy in your block, you won't be the fastest guy in the city. It's very hard to find the top guy in the world. There's always going to be someone better. But when you go down the system of God where he promotes you, let's be clear, there's no competition. No one is less important than you, and no one is more important than you. You and your calling is the most important thing God has on his mind, because it's you and him, and he has a plan for you that fits in the body, and he has to take you there. And the way you get him to start taking you there is you realize he's really taking himself there. I'm giving him enough access to himself in me through the word, through holiness, through love, that he's able to bring me along, because he's promoted himself, and I'm along for the ride. That's why we stay humble, because we realize, I got nothing here. This is all God, trust me. And that's why you're thankful, because God, I'm just so thankful for everything I have. Everything I've done for you is you doing it through me. I'm so blessed that you let me be a part of that. I'm so honored that you let me be a part of that. See, you stay humbled, you stay thankful, because it's all him, and you're along for the ride. So if you're seeking God, you're praying, you're fasting, and you find yourself going down this path, be encouraged that it's a good path. It's slower. You're like the building that takes longer to go. You're like the astronaut that takes longer to train. But where we're going is to the moon. It's something significant. And you are significant. Your calling is important. It's in the plan of God. You are important. There's no one else ever in the world that's been more important to God than you. No one else's calling in the world has been more important to God's plan than yours. He needs you. He needs me to grow up, to keep pressing into Him, to keep pursuing holiness, keep pursuing His love, keep growing in the Word, keep growing in those things. The other stuff, the anointing, hearing God, that will all come. But that's not what brings us to promotion. In man's world, it can bring you to promotion. But in God's kingdom, it's the holiness. It's Him in you. Let me close in prayer. I hope I've encouraged you today. And hope I've reminded you, don't be discouraged. Allow the Holy Ghost to take you down that path as you pray in the Holy Spirit. You'll find yourself going down this, transitioning to another plan of promotion from God. Don't think you're failing. Don't feel you're being rejected. Understand that He's doing something beautiful in you, something really amazing, world-changing, just because you're taking time and praying and meditating the Word of God. That is what He's after. Father, I thank You that You love us. You believe in us. We're completely humbled and amazed and honored that You've included us in anything of Yours. What an honor, Father. What an amazing honor that You've asked me to be a part of this. We're blessed, and thank You, Father. Thank You for believing in us. Thank You for giving us the courage and the strength and the time to press more and more into You. Because we believe that if we humble ourselves, the day will come that You will exalt us. Not man, but You, Father. And we are thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. I'm proud of you. Keep it up. We'll see you soon.